Well, we are continuing in our series, the book of Malachi. Malachi means messenger of God, God's messenger. And Malachi was bringing a message to the people there to hear. It was, as he was a prophet of God, bringing a message that was very challenging to give and very challenging to hear. Because he was bringing a strong message. But you know, there is times when God brings a message that is challenging to us. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. So again, the word of God is all-encompassing for what we need. And the truth is that Jesus is the word of God. So it's all in Jesus. There, 85% of the book of Malachi are direct words from God through Malachi. And this was a conversation, it was probably a bit of an argument, as God says, you have not showed this, or how have we not showed this? Well, you've not did this, or you have not done that. You don't show me love. Well, how do we not show you love? And it's just a back and forth. Anyone argue with God? We all do it, don't we? We all do it. Let me say, do you ever win?
No.
So what's the lesson?
Yet to win.
Yes, you've yet to win, yes. I don't think you'll ever win, Charlie. God's always right there, so give in quick. That's what I say. But keep focused. The three things I said when we first started this, because you will hear some tough stuff from this book of Malachi. But keep focused, because right there, in the very first chapter, God says, I have loved you, and I still love you. God loves us and will never stop loving us. We need to hold on to that.
Yeah.
Do you believe it, that God loves you? He loves you and will never stop loving you. Listen with open hearts today. Listen with open hearts to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. Not for your spouse beside you, not for your friend. Don't turn to them and say, that's a great word for you. You need to listen to that. Be praying as I'm speaking, Holy Spirit, what are you wanting to say to me today? What do I need to take from this place today? That's why, bring a notebook. Write down one or two things. You say, this is for me today. I am taking this. And the third thing was, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So week one, as I said, God says, I have always loved you. This was a call to love God and to know his love and to show God love by the offerings that they were bringing. The truth was the people were quite lukewarm in their love towards God. Because we saw in week two that the offerings that they brought to God were very poor quality. Who remembers the bunch of flowers that was here? The tulips that I brought that says, no, that's not the kind of offering, but just that full bouquet. And you know, like we come as living sacrifices before God. And what is it that we bring to God? They showed no respect for the way that they offered the sacrifices. They had great animals, perfect animals, but there was also animals that were quite pure quality. And they would say, God, I promise I'm going to give the best. But when the time came, they says, oh, let's just give God this one, and I'll keep this one for myself. And God was speaking into that there. He wasn't going to let that go. And so the reality was that this wasn't a problem with the type of sacrifice that they were bringing. This was a problem with their heart. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. It's all about our hearts towards God. Have we surrendered all? And let me say, I'm not suspecting that there's anyone here 100% has surrendered everything to God. But he in his grace and his mercy takes us on a journey and brings us to a place, and we just surrender a bit at a time. If only I could get there, God, I surrender all. But there's times in my life when I hold things back. God, no, I don't want to give you this. And God says, that's fine. Just keep going on a journey. And then another time will come. And God says, I want your heart. I want all of your heart. And we are called as a people of God to live a different way. So Malachi chapter 2. When I first read this, I thought, oh, God, I don't want to speak that. Oh, wow. Let me just, heavy breathing there. Malachi chapter 2. Yeah, the title, if you want a title for today, is The Call to Love God Fully. How do we love God fully? Two ways that I'm going to be speaking about today is the love for God's glory. The love for God's glory, the honor of his name, and the love for God's word, and that honor for his word. The love for God's glory, and the love for God's word. And it's all to do with honor, how we honor God, how we honor his word. To honor means to value, respect, highly esteem, treat as precious or weighty or valuable. So let's read Malachi chapter 2. Going to read from verse 1 to 9. Listen, you priests, the command is for you. Listen to me and make up your minds to honor my name, says the Lord of heaven's armies, or I will bring a terrible curse against you. I will curse even the blessings that you receive. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you have not taken my warning to heart. Descendants, I must have missed a bit. I will punish your descendants and splatter your faces from the manure, from the festival sacrifices. Wow. And I will throw you on the manure pile. Then at last that you will know that it was I who sent you this warning, so that my covenant with the Levites can continue, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The purpose of my covenant with the Levites was to bring life and peace. This is what I gave them. This required reverence from them, and they greatly revered me and stood in awe of my name. They passed on to the people the truth of the instructions they received from me. They did not lie or cheat. They walked with me, living good and righteous lives, and they turned many from their lives of sin. The words of a priest's lips should preserve knowledge of God, and people should go to him for instruction, for the priest is the messenger of the Lord of heaven's armies. But you priests have left God's path. Your instructions have caused many to stumble into sin. You have corrupted the covenant I made with the Levites, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So I have made you despised and humiliated in the eyes of all people. For you have not obeyed me, but have shown favoritism in the way that you carry out my instructions. Wow. I'm going to turn to someone and say, thank goodness we get through that. Heavy words. What am I going to get from that? What have you to remember? God loves you. God loves you. He is for you, not against you. He has plans for your life, plans to prosper you, give you a future, give you a hope. And so it's good to hear truth being spoken into our life. And again, Holy Spirit, come and just show us what we need to hear today. Verse 6, there in this was the verses that Jonathan Edwards had on his gravestone. Jonathan Edwards had these words on his gravestone: the law of truth was in his mouth and iniquity was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and iniquity. If you know anything about Jonathan Edwards, he was one of the leading figures of the Great Awakening of the 1700s. He saw the glory of God come in such powerful ways. He preached a sermon that I'm sure many of us have heard, and I'm sure many of us would not want to preach today. He preached a sermon entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Who would like a message on that? Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And that was the title that they put on it when it went to press. They printed the sermons in the papers. Wow. There was so much of the Holy Spirit's power present that when the sermon was preached, hundreds of people literally outside the church clung onto tree trunks for fear of going to hell. They literally clung to tree trunks. Inside the church, the believers and people were hanging on to pews and the chairs for fear that they would be swept into hell because of the glory and the presence of God. And again, the glory of God, the presence of God. And here, the glory of God, the presence of God, the honor of God. I'm praying for the glory of God. I'm praying for the glory of God. I don't know if we're going to see people hanging on to seats. No point in hanging on to these seats. I'm not attached to anything. You'll be swept away. No, you won't. Use it all. Great believers. But you know, the glory of God. Here in Malachi, God is wanting to talk to the priests who were the leaders. They ministered. They brought the sacrifices. Once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. And so the priest would minister unto God on behalf of the people there. We have a different terminology of priests. When we think of priests, we think of the Catholic Church, the priest there. But a priest here was ministering unto God. You'll hear later on that we are a kingdom of priests. We are a royal priesthood. Those who were to lead and teach the people, listen, you priests, this command is for you. Make up your mind to honor my name. What was the problem? The problem was they were not showing honor for God's name. They were not showing the proper honor towards God. They were not showing honor to his name or his word. They were not honoring the covenant that was made there. They didn't value God. They had no proper respect for God, the awe of God. God is a holy and awesome God. And there was no reverence or respect for God from the leaders. And God is speaking into the life of the leaders. And let me say, for leaders, we have a greater accountability as we bring the word of God. And so for you guys sitting in the congregation, you have a greater expectation, well, you should have, from leaders to bring you the truth of the word of God. What is God saying? And so we will be held more accountable to God. I certainly will as a pastor for how I have led this church. So please put in a good report for me. Valuing his name, valuing his word. And Malachi was speaking into the spiritual leadership. They should have been bringing God's word. They should actually have been living God's word. And they were not doing it. They were showing favoritism to people. They were probably taking bribes. Give me some money. Give me this as well as your offering. And I'll say a better blessing for you or something. But they were corrupt. A lot of the leaders were corrupt. They weren't shown the proper honor to God. And Malachi here brings in the covenant that was made with the Levites to bring life and peace. The Levites, they showed the respect of God. We're going to see how they actually started. They stood in awe of God's name. They passed on to the people the truth. They didn't lie or cheat, as these verses are telling us. They lived the calling of the covenant. They turned many away from their lives of sin. And God here was rebuking these priests because they weren't doing that. The priests had left God's path and their instruction. The Levites were given to the priests to help serve, to stand between the priests and the people. The Levites made up the Levitical system on which Israel's entire worship of Yahweh depended. Aaron, Moses, Brother. Thank you, Charlie. Oh, see, I don't know everything. Aaron was a priest unto God, and all priests descendant from him. All priests were Levites, but yet not all Levites were priests. The Levites also existed to serve the men of the priesthood. But there was a time when Aaron, he failed in his duty because Moses was up in that mountain seeking God, getting the Ten Commandments, and the people were down at the bottom of the mountain thinking, Moses is dead. He's not coming back. What shall we do? Build us another god, Aaron. And so Aaron collected all the gold from people, and they put it into the fire. And I just love the explanation as Moses comes down and says, what are you doing? Well, we just collected all the gold, threw it into the fire, and lo and behold, a calf came out. Goodness me. Moses must have been like, what? But Aaron gave in to the people, and he built a golden calf and says, this is your God. And God was not happy. Aaron decided, okay, or Moses, he came and he says, who is on my side? Who is for me? Come and stand here. Guess who? All the Levites came and stood with Moses. And their first job for the Levites, go and kill the people. And 3,000 people died that day as the Levites went and slaughtered those that were worshipping and not for God. Who wants a job as a Levite? Aaron failed in his priestly duties. Moses saw that Aaron had let the people out of control, but it was the Levites who came and gathered to Moses. And this is what Moses says, you have ordained yourselves for the service of the Lord. And there was a time when the Levites, and what they were supposed to be doing nearly failed in their duty. And you're getting to see that we're not perfect. The Levites there, they were seduced by Moab, the Moabites. Numbers 25, Israel gave in to sexual immorality of the Moabite women. They were seduced into sexual immorality. They were seduced into worshipping their false god, Baal of Peor. They were worshipping a false god. And Moses, again, as people were killed because they were worshipping a false god. They were having sexual relations with the women of Moab. And here's the thing. I just find this. I don't know actually how I find this. Moses is standing and the people are there at the front of the tent of meeting. Moses is talking to the people about their sexual immorality. Moses is talking to the people about their worship of a false god. And out the corner of his eye, he sees a man walking. His name was, what was his name? Zimri. Zimri and his Midianite girlfriend walking as Moses was talking to all the people, telling them about their sexual immorality. And here's Zimri and this woman getting into his tent right in front of Moses and what he was saying to the people. Blatant. I'm sure everybody was probably going, doesn't say anyone from the crowd, but there was one man, Phineas, who thought, this is not going to happen in my watch. This is not going to happen in my watch. So what did he do? He took a spear, and he went into that tent, and he put a spear through the back of Zimri, and it went right through the front of the woman. So that tells me they were close together. Blatantly having sex. Sexual immorality, as Moses had called the people of God to come before him. And Zimri came and he did something about it. Phineas, the grandson of Aaron. The grandson of Aaron. He was zealous for God. He was zealous for God. He was zealous for God's name to be honored. And Malachi's description, they say, is in verses 5 and 6 of what that was, that attitude should be in the priests. That attitude of Phineas, who will not stand for God's name being dishonored. Then the Lord said to Moses, Phineas, son of Eleazar, in Numbers 25, and grandson of Aaron, the priest, has turned away my anger from the Israelites by being zealous among them as I was. So I stopped destroying all Israel as I intended to do in my zealous anger. The Levi covenant, a covenant of life and peace. You still with me? I know some of you are saying, what's that got to do with me? Blessings would come through obedience and commitment to God's word. And God is saying, if you live right, and he's through Malachi, he is saying that if you live right, there's blessing. But when you don't live the way, when you are actually living a way contrary to what you are saying, then God will speak into it. And he is saying, I will even turn your blessings into curses. I mean, he gets very strong. Even the dung, I will wipe on your faces. God's got an attitude. People, we need to be people who will stand for the honor of his name. The Levites, as I said, respect for God's name. They stayed in relationship with God. They hated what God hated. They were consistent. The Levites walked with God and stopped falling patterns of sin as the Levites and the Levitical system progressed. The message for us today, what do we need to take from this today? Two things I would say. If you walk out this door, take two things. Honor God's name and honor his word. Honor God's name and honor his word. Come on, say it with me. Honor God's name. Honor God's name. And honor God's word. Again, honor God's name. And honor his word. Jesus, our great high priest, who lived the right way, who was the person who showed all these character traits of living the way that he should have. He died for us, the great high priest of God. He gave his life for us, and for that, we as believers have become a royal priesthood. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2. But you are not like that. Talked previously about those who stumble and not obeying God's word. And here Peter is saying, but you believers, but you Dundee Elam Church, you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Wow. Is this blessing you or what? As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, but now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you have received mercy. Wow. I thank God for his word. We bring that Malachi message into this New Testament, into these days, and we discover that for us who have trusted in Jesus, for all who are followers of Jesus, we are a royal priesthood, ministering unto God. I believe that we are in a place of standing in the gap between the people who are going to a lost eternity and our great God, that we can pray, that we can intercede, that we are actually standing between the living God and those dead in their sins, that we pray for our family, that we pray for our communities, that they would receive life and peace, that they would see Jesus as Lord and Savior. There is a call in our lives, church, to honor God, honor his name in worship and awe and respect. A call to honor his word and live his word with enthusiasm. With enthusiasm. What are you saying, Steve? Have I come dancing down the aisles, showing my enthusiasm? Just that we look as if we actually love God and that we love worshiping him. Zeal, fervor, intense heat, passion, made up of two Greek words, en and thus, theo, in theo, in God. And the way that we carry that zeal and that passion of God is when God comes in and invades our lives. It's in God. We can't rustle up. We can't, well, I certainly won't try and get you hyped up to show some enthusiasm. It takes God. It takes God loving his word, honoring his word. And one of the things I am seeing, and I'm stepping away from the pulpit because this might be me. And if it is, then you need to disregard it. But I'm just going to say it. I feel in these days that we have disregarded God's word. I believe that we are far away from the honor of God's word. What am I saying? I remember the days of sitting in church. Call me old-fashioned. When people actually brought a Bible to church. Don't always remind me of that song, I Hear the Sound of Rustling. People would bring a book to church. But Stephen, I've got my phone, I've got my iPad, I've got the Word of God. And I would love to believe that when you are in your Word on your phone or iPad, that is all that you're in. But who knows, as you are, because I've tried it, I've did it, I've got NIV Live on mine that actually reads to me, it's actually dramatized. We have our Bible Gateway. We can get in contact with so many Bibles, Greek, Hebrew. Wow, technology is so advancing, but yet I feel we have stepped back from the Word of God. Stephen, it's only a book. It's not a book, it's God's Word. It is God's Word. Prayer meetings. Who comes to a prayer meeting now with the Word of God? I'll be off this wee hobby horse in a minute, okay? So I'm just putting it out there. But I'll tell you, there is something when you come and you just get your Word open and you are reading verses and you are just meditating on them. We pray for you. We give thanks to God, our glorious Father. Now, if you were doing this on your phone, ping, 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 ping. But the Word of God, the Word of God. Today, survey. Who's got a Bible in the house? Who's got actually paper Bibles in their house? Keep your hands up. It's not the older ones, apart from some of the younger ones. The Word of God. And I'll tell you, there is something about honoring His Word. And yes, it is letters on a page, but they contain. I'll tell you, I have been working to, well, I'm getting there. I spend more time in this than on my phone. When we come to church, when I'm reading scripture, I'm assuming that you actually are believing that what I'm reading is there. When you come, not having a dig at you, just talk, tell your person beside you, he'll be finished in a minute. Come on, tell them. I am honored at the memory of people in this room today, that they can listen to a sermon and they can go home and remember everything that I had spoken this morning. I don't see any notes. Now, I'm not saying that everything I am going to say is you need to write that down and you need to hold that dear. But we write down, God, what are you saying to me today? This is what you are saying to me today. I need to get my act together or whatever. And we take that and we pray for it and we get through the Word of God. And I'm going to give you a challenge. You don't have to take it if you don't want to. I would encourage you. The month of March up to Easter, why don't you begin to use your Bible pages from the month of March and see what happens. If you've not got a Bible, we have some New Testaments here. Gladly give you them. There's Bibles in the foyer. Take one. But see, I'm going to give this a try. For the month of March, I'm going to come and I'm just going to focus on these pages. And I'm going to see, God, what are you saying to me today? The Word of God. The Word of God. Honoring His Word. Honoring His Word. I'm off my pedestal now. I'm back behind the pulpit. But our Bibles. Our Bibles. And I know you'll be saying, but I'm on my Bible, Stephen. And I trust you. But give your pages, the Bible, a try for a month. Do you still love me? The Word of God. Honor for the Word of God. These priests were called to lead the way and how they lived. We as Christians are called to live the way God is calling us to live through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's not left us to get on our own. He's given us the Holy Spirit and He will help us walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Leadership is influence. As John Maxwell says, nothing more, nothing less. Leadership is something that first happens inside of us. It's not about just telling people to do stuff. Leadership, ultimately, leadership is not as much about what I do, but who I am. Nehemiah, Christian leadership is what I believe Nehemiah was. Christian leadership is a skill of influencing people to enthusiastically work towards God's goal. Leaders. We as Christians are called, I believe, to influence people. What is your influence on people? Influence our world for God, to give glory to His name, to have glory for His word. I'm nearly finished. And I would ask, where are the people like Phineas who will stand for the glory of God and His name? Please do not spare anyone. Who are the Phineases who will show zeal and honor for the glory of God's name and his words. Where are you with Jesus? Remember I asked that question? Where are you with God's words? And in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, we want to see our church grow. We want to see people getting saved. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. With all their programs, the church increased in numbers. Just check that in your Bible. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, the church increased in numbers. Wow. Living in the fear of God. The last chapter and the last message I'm going to be speaking on in Malachi is going to be talking about the fear of the Lord. Not a scary fear that God is going to strike us down, but it's that reverence, that awe of God. And I believe that is what our world is looking for. Not that we blend in, but that we stand out. Come on, nudge someone beside you and say, you're meant to stand out. You're meant to stand out. You are a priest of God in the house of God, and we have been called to walk in and enjoy relationship with God, a relationship that's marked with life and peace, a relationship that's marked by fear and standing in the awe of who God is. He is our loving Heavenly Father. He is our friend. But he is a holy and awesome God. Holy, the fire of God. And you know, as I was praying, and then we're going to pray. After all that, I'm saying, so God, what is the prophetic message over this church? What is it? What is it that I need to, not that I've not already brought stuff, and you know, as I've been praying the past few weeks, I sense that God is preparing us, I actually believe he's preparing his church, for a greater outpouring of his Holy Spirit. He is preparing us. Do you know, the things that you are going through, the tough times, you feel your life has just been stretched. I believe there is a greater capacity coming to your life for steps of faith, for taking those steps of faith that where you would be like, I can't do that. God is increasing our capacity, I believe, for reaching our world, for reaching our city. And I sense that he was preparing us in a greater measure for the coming of the King. And you know, as I thought about that, and I thought, if King Charles walked through these doors, what would happen? Would we stand? He's not the king, but he's a king of our nation. Just as the visit of King Charles would require protocols to be in place, conversations made, putting things in place and removing things that would block the way, so too I believe that God is preparing us for a visitation of the King. The King of Kings. Yes, he will come back. Jesus is coming back for his church. But I believe we are in days when there's going to be a greater measure of his Holy Spirit being poured out on our nations. And I'm praying this church, the King doesn't fit in with our protocols and timings. You know, we can't say, well, King, you can take me as he finds me. Well, I can do 2:30. God is coming. His presence is coming, I believe, in greater ways, and we're seeing bits of it. And we have to fit our life. How much do we want it? How much do we want more of him? Are we hungry for his presence? It's his presence that's going to change this city. Dundee Elam, I felt we will experience more of the fire of God, that we will become that fireplace that has been prophesied over us, and that we will indeed see many people who will be refreshed, healed, and filled with a fire of passion with God and his purposes, and become carriers of his presence here and abroad. So for you guys that are visiting this city, studying, I believe God has got you here for a purpose, because he is going to put something in your life, the fire and the passion of God, that as you go back home, I believe you go back with a greater capacity for more of him. And one last thing, and then we're going to pray. And I saw facades. It was like tents or buildings that were propped onto people's lives. And I was like, what is that? And then the word facade came. A facade is an outer appearance that hides what is really going on inside. And I felt that God was saying that he is going to come and remove the facades on our lives. The truth is, and I'm putting myself there as well, sometimes in our life we can have this facade, this is who I am, but behind the scenes, this is who I really am. This is who I really am. Smile, sparkle, be confident. Isn't God good? And our world is just going to mess. And I just felt God was saying that this is an opportunity for our lives to take down the facades in our own lives, to become in that place of vulnerability before God and say, God, this is who I am. God knows who you are. But he's wanting you to come to that place when you say, God, this is who I really am. With our friends and our family of God, this is who I really am. I don't have all the answers. I can't lead this church without God. Flesh and blood, I have the same temptations you do. But thank God he gives me the strength to overcome. And I believe if we don't take down the facades, God is going to take them down. And that is a strong word. What was the three things, or what was the main thing I was to, you were to remember? Come on, tell me. No, you need to remind me. Tell me. We're called to live different, but we are loved by God. And church, you are the hope. You are the hope of this city. The church is the hope of the world, because we are Jesus' hands and feet. And this is a challenge. And this is an encouragement. And this is an opportunity where we can come and say, God, this is who I am. Right, let's stand. I've said enough. A couple of minutes, the kids will be ready to come out. I've said loads. I know sometimes I can be like a whirlwind and it's just pouring out the words. But what is it that you are going to take away today? And as I said just previous, two things. Honor God's name. Even the way we speak, that we honor God's name. And honor his word. Honor his word. Well, Jesus is the word. So there's two things. Just play quietly for me. Just going to wait a few moments. Thank you, Jesus. Honor his name. and honor his word. That we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That we are, as believers, called to live differently. We're not perfect. God knows that. And I thank him for his grace and his patience and his mercy. Father, would you teach us to fear your name, to stand in awe of your name, that your word would be, Lord, on our lips. Lord, that we would live by our lives your word. Help us to speak truth. Help us to live in the truth of your word. Help us to live in the fear of you, Lord God, to love your word, to bring honor and glory to your name through our lives, living sacrifices pleasing to you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just feel, just to wait another minute or so. So there may be people here, you have never started a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you're saying, well, how can I live for God when I've not given my life to him? I don't know him. Then this is a day when you can give your life to him. A simple prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for doing things my own way. I thank you that you died for me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I give you my life today. I choose to live for you. Forgive me. It's a simple prayer. You can know the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just sense God is speaking to some people with those words. And as we close with our final song, again, and note that this is a time when we are going to come and pray for you. Again, we have the front of the church as a place where you can come and just do business with God. A place where you can just come and say, God, I am sorry for not living my life the way that you have called me to live. Forgive me. And it's just that, it's the word. Just coming and giving our life to God afresh.